Proverbs, the first chapter, Proverbs 1. We've been trying to teach and preach what Christ preached on that road to Emmaus to those two disciples. Remember, he began in the books of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, all the scriptures, it says, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. Because the scriptures, and this will be similar to the next message, we're going to see where Christ said in John 5, they are they which testify of me. He says, Moses wrote of me. That's the next message. Same message, the words of Christ, and the salvation that's in Christ. Proverbs is the next book. We've gone all the way up through the Psalms and then from Genesis to Psalm. Now, Proverbs is next. Proverb means a wise and weighty saying, that is, full of matter. Weighty. It's full of truth. It's the marrow. It's the sum. It's the substance of any subject. Proverbs are full of these weighty sayings. There are over 900 Proverbs in our Bible, but Solomon wrote 3,000, and we have 900 of them, and 1,005 songs or psalms. And in the Proverbs, it speaks, and just these, we just want to look at the first seven verses, but in the Proverbs, it speaks a great deal of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, these things. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So, these are the proverbs concerning Christ. Yea, they are the proverbs of him. Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. Right? We know that. He asked the Lord to give him wisdom, and the Lord gave him wisdom more than any before him or after him, except Christ, who is wisdom. Where did Solomon get this wisdom? From Christ, who is wisdom. He taught him. So the Proverbs speak of him, of Christ, and they're really his words. Solomon just took dictation. All the prophets, they just spake as they were moved. The Lord said to John in the last book of the Bible, write these things, write this down. And he said the same thing to all his prophets and apostles. All right, look at verse 1. It begins, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. As said, Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. His name means, and he represents Christ. He himself represents Christ. We've seen that. But Solomon's name means peaceful. Peaceful. David, his name means loving or lovely or the beloved. So Solomon is the son of the beloved. But Solomon's name means peaceful. All the time of Solomon's reign, 40 years, there were no wars, ever. No battles fought, ever. Since every man dwelt safely under his own vine and fig tree. And that's Christ, isn't it? Christ came, he said to his disciples, mind you, because there's no peace for the wicked. But Christ made peace for his people by the blood of his cross. In John 14, he said, peace I leave with you. He made peace with God. He made our peace with God. We don't make our peace with God. That's what false religion says to people. You make your peace with God. You can't do it. Christ alone, his blood. He said, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. They say peace, peace. when there is no peace. Our Lord said there are going to be wars and rumors of war. But his people in Isaiah 40, he said, you tell them, you comfort them, you give them peace, tell them the warfare is accomplished. And he won the battle for our soul. Like David. David fought all those. David, from the time he was 16, we think he was about 16 or 17 when he faced Goliath, who's a picture of Satan. And by himself, he defeated that adversary of Israel. From the time he was 16 till he died at 70, he was fighting battles all his life. And then when Solomon, the son of David, came, peace. Why? David fought all the battles. What a picture that both David and Solomon are. But I got to go on. That's just the first line. As said, the son of David means, David means lovely. Christ is the altogether lovely one. Did you read that quote by Brooks?
Yeah.
He's lovely. He's always lovely. I love that. All right. Solomon's going to tell us concerning the name of God. When the Queen of Sheba came to prove Solomon with her hard, she thought they were hard questions. But she came and he told her things he should be asking. Says he told her all her word. Didn't answer. Says he told her, you need to be asking this. And it says she came to prove him with these hard questions. And it says there in 1 Kings 10 that but she came to hear of him concerning the name of the Lord. That's the first thing he said. That everything that Solomon said was concerning the name of the Lord, who God is. That all of these proverbs, if it's wisdom, it has to be concerning Christ. Right? If it's knowledge, it has to be concerning Christ, whom to know is to have eternal life. Okay? Look, that's what verse 2 began. These proverbs are to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to know wisdom, justice, judgment, which is understanding, equity or justice. Our Lord said in his prayer to the Father in John 17:3, you want to know what eternal life is? Or rather, who? You want to know what it is to have eternal life, be saved? Our Lord told us in John 17:3. He said, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, which means there are many conceptions of God, but they're false. But there's one true God, as he's revealed in this book. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom he hath sent. Thou hast sent. Because no man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. No man's seen God. No man's heard from God. The Son hath begotten him. Christ came. God was manifest in the flesh. The only way you can know God is by knowing Jesus Christ. Because he that hath seen him, heard him, believes God, knows God. So to know. It says in verse 2, to perceive the words of understanding. Look at Proverbs 8. I love this. Oh, I love this. Don't you love this? Proverbs 4, 5, Proverbs 8 are wisdom speaking. It's Christ speaking. Proverbs 8, look at this, verse 8. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. Everything Christ said is right, true. They're the words of God, not the words of man, the words of God. He said, the words that I speak, as of the Father. They're all in righteousness. There's nothing forward, reed, corrupt, or perverse in them. It's all pure and holy and righteous and just. It's the truth. The whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Look at verse 9. I love it. They're all plain to him that understandeth. In other words, if God has given you an understanding, it's all plain. Very plain. But not until He gives you an understanding of His Word. Okay? And Christ is the understanding. Look at verse 14. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. And we quote 1 John 5:20 all the time, don't we? I love it. You need to know it. We know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we're in Him that is true. This is even in His Son, Lord. This is eternal life. This is a true God and eternal life. Christ, that man who walked this earth, is the one that made it. That man who walked this earth now sits on the circle of it and reigns and rules over it. And everything and everyone is in His almighty hands. He's God. And everything He said is absolute truth. Do you believe Him? God, Christ said, Paul wrote, but Christ said, the wisdom of this world is foolishness. Didn't it? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Because if it doesn't start with God, if it doesn't start with Christ and doesn't end with Him, it's foolishness. It's the wisdom of man. The wisdom of man. It'll come to naught. It says to perceive the words of understanding. Let me just have so many scriptures to read to you, but I'll not make you turn to all of them. But listen to this. In John 8:43. He said, Solomon said, to perceive words of understanding. Our Lord is standing before a group of people. He's talking. He says, why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. He said, he that is of God heareth God's word. He said, you're not of God, therefore you hear them not. You don't understand. But do you understand? Here's the thing I want us to marvel at. Here's the thing I want us to be so thankful and grateful for. And not leave here without praise in our hearts and coming out of our lips. He's given you an understanding. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent. And revealed them unto babes. Whose babes? His babes. His little children. They understand. What? That Christ is all. I mean, that's not just doctrine. That's not just a slogan. That's the truth. They know it is. Ask any question concerning anything. The answer is Jesus Christ. Creation, Jesus Christ. He made it. Providence, Jesus Christ. He worked all things after the counsel of His will for His glory. Salvation, it's completely Jesus Christ. So, what about everything that's happening in the world? He's doing it. Everything. Like Joseph, remember? Whatever's done there, He's a doer of it. But hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? All right, look at our text. It says, to know wisdom. That's Christ. He's the wisdom of God and what? The power of God. All power. What does He say? All power is given unto me in where? Somebody say it. Heaven. Heaven? Who has all power in heaven? God. See, He thought it not robbery to be. All power is given unto me in heaven and where? Earth. All power. There's no power but of Him. Nobody can do anything unless He allows it or does it. You believe that? The world says that's foolishness. Our Lord came and He healed many blind, deaf, dumb, lame, raised the dead. He did only what God can do. And all that's a type of man. How man is by nature. He's blind. He can't see the hand of God. He's deaf. He cannot hear these words unless the Lord opens ears. Can't do it. He will not thank God. He will not praise God. He will not even... The only way he'll use God's name is to cuss with. Unless he's born of God, a new creature, a brand new creature that man had nothing to do with. You had nothing to do with your first birth, and you have nothing to do if you're born again. Nothing to do with it. Not your will, not your choice, not your decision, not some preacher begging you and bringing you down from it. It's God giving birth to you miraculously through this word and showing you, giving you an understanding. All of a sudden, your eyes are open. See this world for what it is. Perishing. To see yourself for what you are. Nothing. To see Christ for what he is. Everything. Your only hope. Wisdom. To see this world for the foolishness that it is. And see all the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding. Unfathomable. I said it. I always had trouble with that word. Unfathomable. The depths of it, you can't plumb it. The heights of it, you can't reach it. The width of it, the breadth of it, the length of it, you will never attain to it. Not a fraction of it. It's like putting your feet in the ocean. You'll never plumb the depths of it. You know there are depths in the ocean deeper than Mount Everest? Unseen depths, which are a picture of the depth of this book, which is Jesus Christ. The Proverbs. I thought about going through the Proverbs, but I thought, we need 100 years. What? We can't get past verse 2. Seriously. Wisdom. Justice. Righteous, which is righteousness. What does 1 Corinthians 1:30 say? Everybody in here should know that. See, all of God's people know. He's given them an understanding. God has given them an understanding that of God, he has made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, let he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. No flesh is going to glory in his presence. Not for anything you know, anything you are, anything you have, anything you've ever done. Everybody in glory is saying, we're here because of him. 100% because of him. Wisdom, power. And Christ is the wisdom of God, the power of God. Justice, judgment, judgment. And Isaiah 40 is going to have you turn there. Judgment. That means understanding, judgment. It says when he comes in Isaiah 40, he's going to give judgment to Gentiles. Judgment to the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? That's us. We all came from... Everybody in the South came from Ireland or Scotland. You're talking about some heathen. Celtic, Druids, they thought they were wise. We're Druids. We worship, you know, we run naked in battle and, you know, we signs and crosses and all this. You're a fool. You're a blooming idiot. It's like that, you know, we talked about asylum, the church being an asylum where Christ is found. That's all of us. We're that Gadarene demoniac. We're a bunch of idiots until Christ saves us and clothes us and puts us in our right mind and sits us down at his feet with our mouth shut hearing his voice. Yeah, this is an asylum for those who are once insane. The world's insane. They're fighting against God. They're fighting against the Creator. They're not acknowledging their Creator. They're not thankful. They don't even like Romans 1. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. God's not in all their thoughts. They have lots of thoughts. God's not in any of them. What a fool. The fool has said no God. You can't understand anything apart from God. So, and here's the... Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says to give subtlety to the simple. That's us, simple by nature. Simple means easily fooled. Simple means easily beguiled. Somebody can trick you. Simple means easily impressed or influenced. Man is so easily influenced and fooled and impressed by the least little thing. And the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 11, turn that. The God of this world hath blinded men's minds lest they should believe the truth. Why? Because God lets him do it. Because God tells him to. Right? Satan can't do anything unless God lets him. Well, when people first hear this, they think, this is a strange God you have. Yeah, the truth is strange. So 2 Corinthians 11 talks about subtlety, gives subtlety to the simple. 2 Corinthians 11, now the two of the smartest human beings that ever lived were Adam and Eve. Right? Probably never been human beings like them. Except Christ is over and above it. It says in verse 3, 2 Corinthians 11, 3, I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Simplicity. Subtlety. Satan is subtle. Crafty. Wiles of the devil. Spiritual wickedness in high places. And no human being is a match for him. Adam and Eve were not. Eve wasn't. Adam purposely, willfully disobeyed. I don't understand that. But he did. But Satan subtly deceived the woman. And in his subtlety and his craftiness and his wiles today, he has deceived a world of people. Paul wrote to Timothy that he holds captive men. He holds them captive. But maybe, peradventure, God will relieve them from that captivity, rescue them. But the subtlety of Satan he uses so many things. But what he uses chiefly is the sight of the eyes and the hearing of the ear. Say, look. Look. There it is. Look. And the world, look. Well, there it is. Or listen. To what? What the world's saying. What's going on? Man. Look what's going on. Look what's going on. Listen to what's going on. Listen to it. Make your judgment according to it. Our Lord said, I don't judge by the sight or the ear. My judgment's true. We walk by faith, not by sight. The things that are seen are temporal and deceptive. The God of this world takes the things of this world and shows you, says, look, here's peace. Here's happiness. Here's joy. Here's all this world's about, this stuff. Look. And everybody falls for it. Everybody falls for it. Christ comes and shows us unseen things. Reality. Christ comes and tells us of an unseen kingdom. The subtlety of Satan is he fools so many. And Paul said the simplicity that is in Christ, that means, what that mean? Now, the truth is anything but simple. Truth is profound, and nobody can understand it. The wisest person on earth, by searching, cannot find out God. But simplicity means singleness. Complex is many things involved, right? Simple, complex. I didn't take chemistry, but I know that much. And I don't need chemistry. I need this chemistry. Complex means many things go together to make up something. Simple means one thing. All right, Christ said, I'm the way. Way of what? Name something. Yeah. Way to God. Way of understanding. Way of peace. Way of joy. Way of happiness. The way of forgiveness. What? I am the truth. Oh, not many truths. One truth. The truth of who God is. The truth of what man is. The truth of salvation. The truth. The truth of this book. You want to understand anything in this book? Jesus Christ is the truth. The whole truth. And the life. He that hath the Son hath life. one way, one truth, single, one way, one Lord, one Lord, one faith, one hope of your calling. What's that? That Jesus Christ calls you. Everybody with them are called, chosen. He chose them. They all know that. One. Simplicity. Single. Okay? But all religion, oh, they think they're smart. Oh, they go into all this stuff. All right, go on. It says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Verse 4, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. A wise man will hear, as we already said. We won't hear anything until he gives us ears to hear. But a fool won't hear it all. Won't hear it all. Romans 1, it sounds like Proverbs. Proverbs 1, if you keep reading it, says, I called and you didn't have, you refused. So, he says, you're going to cry and call on me and I'm not going to answer. He said, I'm going to laugh. God says it. I'm going to mock. In Proverbs 1. Romans 1 says, when they knew God and didn't glorify Him as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of God, glorifies the creature rather than the Creator. Things like birds, beasts. So God gave them up. Gave them over. So God gave them unto vile affection. It went on to say they didn't like to think about God. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That means a mind void of judgment. No matter how many degrees behind their name, if they don't know God, don't know Christ, they're a fool. A mind void of real judgment and understanding. I'll prove it. I'll prove it. Have not God made foolish? And he said in 2 Thessalonians 2, he said, they didn't receive the love of the truth, so I'll send them strong delusions that they believe a lie. And that's what man believes. Years ago, on the cover of Time magazine and on a huge whole page or two of Wall Street Journal was an article with a picture of a rock. Life discovered on Mars. Now, these are smart people, okay? And it showed a picture of a rock, and there was this little tube on this rock. Looked like a mud dauber tube. You know, you've seen mud dauber tube. That's what it looked like. Nothing in it, but there's this tube, life on Mars. So for 7 years, they studied that rock. No telling how many billions of dollars were spent, given by the government, to study that rock. Now you and I know, Christ is the rock. Okay, 7 years later, they can't prove it. So on the back page of the Wall Street Journal, 7 years later, about article about one inch by one inch, said, science have concluded, no life on Mars. They're looking into black holes. That's exactly what man is looking into. Black holes. Oh, aren't we smart? Christ is the light. Light came into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light. Rather look into a black hole. 900 proverbs, any one of which is full of infinite wisdom. Are men looking at it? No. We'll listen to Confucius. We'll listen to Buddha. We'll listen to Krishna, whoever, whatever he is. I did. I used to do that. Sit cross-legged and gaze at my navel and think about Krishna. What an idiot. What a blooming idiot. Huh? That's true. And I'm saying all that, not for you to laugh, but to marvel that I'm standing here in front of you. Marvel at God's grace that you're sitting here believing what the world calls foolishness. The world says this is foolishness. This is not God's book. That's not God on this earth. That's not the only truth there is. Our hope is in man. Our hope is in the wisdom of man. That man's going to pull us out of this hole. That's what the whole world believes, don't they? And that's what you believed at one time. Do you believe that now? You think it's a pack of foolishness, don't you? And you think like David, how could I have been so foolish? Because of the mercy of God. The sovereign, electing grace and mercy of God chose you to give you an understanding. Opened your blind eyes. Opened your deaf ears. You hear every word in this book. And you believe it. That's what Paul said. Acts 14 said, the way they call heresy, that's what I believe. I believe all things, he said, written in the law and the prophets and the Psalms. Believe it out. I don't believe hardly anything that man said. Like David said, all men are liars. Can't trust anybody. Who can you trust? Christ is called the faithful witness. In Revelation 1, he's the faithful witness. He'll tell us the truth. That's what the woman at the well said. When the Messiah's come, he'll tell us all things. Christ said, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I reign. He came for you. Who? Who did he come for? Why did he do that? Why did he reveal himself to them? Well, because they know. I'm just poor and wretched and miserable and blind and naked and what I know now, I know by the grace of God. Isaiah 55, it says here in Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear. Isaiah 55 says, hear and your soul shall live. Hear and your soul shall live. And men won't hear. But God. He opens our ears. And verse 6 says, to understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Oh, my. The depth of it. You know, it says in verse 6 that eloquence, to understand the proverb and the eloquent speech, interpretation, the words of the wise. Eloquence is not what you think it is. Eloquence is not using words nobody can understand. No. Our Lord used one and two syllable words. Do you understand me? Now, it's eloquence to be able to take infinite truth that no one can understand and put it in short and concise meaning to where the common man can understand. That's eloquence, taking profound things and making them understandable. But he was so eloquent. And here's proof of man's blindness, that the Pharisees, the scribes, the doctors, the lawyers who had all of this, you know, they prided themselves in their knowledge of Scripture and their understanding. They didn't understand a thing he was saying. He'd tell a simple story, simple parable, and they didn't understand what he was saying. Because he hid it from them. But the poor, the common people heard him gladly. Why? He gave them. They received the love of the truth. They heard him. They sat and listened to him like little children, hanging on his every word. How about you? Let me close with verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord. Now, this is the very first proverb. See that? See the little backward P, the beginning of a paragraph? And this is the very first proverb in the Proverbs. What is the very first proverb? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where you start. That's the first thing God does when he opens your eyes and ears and understanding to know that I'm God. You're God. Your breath is in my hands. And everything about you, your eternal destiny is up to me. Christ said, I have. All right, that's Proverbs 1:7. Who wrote this book? God did. Look at Revelation 1 with me. Look at when I see these things, like right now, I'm at a loss for words. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord. Nobody fears Jesus. Nobody fears Jesus. The Jesus men are talking about is outside of your heart. Nobody wants in. He can't come in unless you know him. He can't do anything unless you know him. That's not the Lord Jesus. When you come to know God and the true God and the true Christ, you'll see he's Lord first. Verse 7, Proverbs 1, Revelation 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. John said in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard a great voice. And men don't hear. John did. Verse 12, I turn. Keep reading with me. This is marvelous. It ends wonderfully. I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw what? Light. The light of what? One like the Son of Man. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. You couldn't paint a picture of Christ as he is. All these pictures are graven images. They don't even resemble him like a candle to the sun. Well, John, when I saw him, verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. That's fear. He gives his fear. It's the beginning of wisdom, saving wisdom. He gives his fear of the Lord. The holy God, holy, holy, holy. Like Isaiah said, woe is unto me. When he saw the Lord, and he fell down, and like Isaiah, it says, the Lord laid his right hand upon me, verse 17, saying unto me, fear not. I am the fear of the Lord. Who is Lord? Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It's God. Not in theory, not a figurehead, an actuality. So the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 1, is the fear of the Lord. The beginning and the end, he says, Christ is Lord. He's the beginning, he's the end. Do you understand? Do you love the truth? Do you love what you just heard? Bless it. How blessed you are. Oh, okay.